بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Previous week we discussed about the crescent moon, about how fasting becomes compulsory, or should we say how it starts, and we explained that it starts by actually establishing the sighting of the moon, and also Eid is also established by sighting of the moon of Sha'ban, and we explain how that is done. Now if we carry on, we will talk about things that invalidate the fast, mufsidat. Mufsidat is an Arabic word which means things that break, things that destroy. And in this case, those things that destroy and negate the fast, these are the things that are going to be discussed. Actions of one who is fasting are divided into four categories. Obviously, we are talking about people who are fasting, so it is their actions that is under discussion. So that can be divided into four categories. Number one, those that require a makeup as well as expiation. So a fasting person, if he does something, sometimes not only does he have to do a makeup, he has to do a qada, he has to redo that fast, but also he has to do a kafara, which in English is called expiation. It is a way of doing a makeup, of rectifying the sin that he has done. Number two, those that require a makeup without expiation. This, if a certain actions which if a person does, it will make him redo the fast, but because the action doesn't fulfill the criteria, as a certain criteria has to be met for that person to be given that punishment, and because that full criteria is not met, the punishment will not be given. So the expiation and the kafara is a punishment. For that punishment to become compulsory upon that person, then he or she has to do an action which will fit that criteria. We will explain afterwards each one in detail. Number three, those that require nothing, meaning there are certain things if a person does, then his fast will not be invalidated, nor is it disliked. Basically, in Sharia, it is not something which will have, which will be deemed to have some sort of karaha, some sort of dislike from the Sharia. Then there's four, those that require nothing yet are disliked, meaning that although the fast is not invalidated, but it is not liked and it is disliked, and it is something that one should try to avoid from doing while in fasting, because this can decrease the actual reward of the fast, although it will not invalidate the fast. Number one, those that require a makeup as well as expiation. Meaning those actions which a person does, not only would require him or her to redo that fast, but also will have to do an expiation, do a kafara, will have to mete out that punishment, otherwise they will be answerable on the Day of Judgment. So there are certain things that if a person does, not only would it render the fast batil, will render the fast destroyed, but also will make him, he will become liable for the kafara, the punishment, which I will again explain afterwards. And only by doing that action, that kafara, the expiation, would he be able to get his sins forgiven, provided he makes tawbah. And expiation is one sort of tawbah, because when a person does that, he's really trying to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one eats or drinks something of nutritional value, i.e. something customarily eaten, or something for medicinal purposes, or if one has sexual intercourse in either of the two passages, front or rear on purpose. So that's in a nutshell what's, if it falls within that, the all these should I say conditions, if all these conditions are met, then not only would you have to do makeup as well as expiation. To actually clarify even better, if we understand this condition that I will explain, then it's very easy to understand. For kafara, expiation, and qada, makeup, for that to become compulsory, certain conditions had to be met. First of all, fi'l al-sa'im, that the person did do something. It wasn't something that he had no control of. If it's something that he had no control of and it happened, then no. It basically, then the expiation and the kafara will not happen. So what I mean by fi'al sa'im, something, for example, he's going through the market, okay, and there's lots of smoke. Now he has to go past, and because of going through the smoke, some inhalation of the smoke will take place. Now that he's not doing deliberately, he's not doing his own accord, okay. Or for example, if somebody was to shove something down his throat, something like that, he's not doing it, someone else doing it. So then this will not be, he will not have to do that. So that's one condition, that the person has to do it himself. Also, that the fasting person has to be mature. If the fasting person is not mature or is not sane, okay, then if he or she starts the fast and then breaks the fast, then he or she does not have to do kafara. Because, meaning expiation, because he or she is not mature, is not baligh, or is not sane. For example, a person who's insane, who doesn't have control of his mind, and he or she was to fast and then break the fast, then the kafara will not become compulsory upon that person. Also, to have intention during the night, meaning the fasting has to be made, the intention of the fast has to be made during the night. If the intention is not made during the night, it is made during the day. For example, he woke up, he and at the time when he woke up, he didn't obviously, because he, I don't know what happened, maybe he overslept or something, he didn't have intention, he didn't make the intention. So now the day has begun, provided it's before Dahwatul Kubra. I mean, I explained what Dahwatul Kubra was. Yeah, before the half day mark, he woke up and he makes intention. Then he makes intention after 3 hours. He went past the pizza shop, couldn't control himself, and grabbed a pizza, right? And then he broke his fast. Now, if someone does that, then he or she will have to redo the fast, but will not have to do the kafara. The reason why is because there is some doubt in this fast. According to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, his fast would not be even accepted because he didn't make intention during the night. It is only according to Imam Abu Hanifa who is allowed to make intention during the day. Now, because of these differences within the ulamas, within the fuqahas, there is a doubt now as to, is this fasting has happened or not happened? If the fasting hasn't even happened, then you can't break the fast. Logic, isn't it? You can only break something if it's happened. So according to Imam Shafi, your fast hasn't even begun. So you haven't even broken it. Hence, the punishment is not there. That's beside the point that it's a big sin of not fasting. We're talking about a certain criteria has to be met for punishment. For example, In Sharia, if it was an Islamic country and everything, if a person did fornication, right? He did fornication, he did adultery, he will get lashed, okay, 80 lashes. But if he did adultery, not from the front passage, but from the back, then he won't be lashed. He may be given other punishment, but not be lashed. That doesn't mean that it's okay to do it. But what it means, because there's a certain criteria, what we deem as fornication. And according to Islam, fornication is someone who commits this act of this heinous act through the front passage. Now, because it hasn't met that criteria, he won't be given that. He may be put into jail or something. But for the actual Sharia had, because it has a certain criteria, certain definition. If that's not met, then that specific punishment would not be met out. So the reason why I'm trying to say is that for this punishment of this expiation to take place, there's a certain criteria has to be fulfilled, right? So, as I was saying, what was I saying? I went so far away to bring it back. What was I talking about?
Just explain the criteria of when
kafara.
Yeah. So if the person doesn't make intention during the night, and he makes intention during the day, although according to Imam Abu Hanifa, the fast is done, but because according to the other Imam, the fast is not done, hence there is a doubt as to whether his fast is done or not done. And because of that, there will be no punishment. Yes, he will have to redo that fast, because he's missed the fast. Or in the case of those who follow the Hanafi school of thought, he's broke a fast. That's why he has to do the fast. But for the punishment to take place, there has to be no element of doubt. It's only with no element of doubt, that's when. For example, even in the terms of Sharia, is if four people give witness that this person has committed zina, then even if that person denies it, he will be punished. But if four people don't give witness and he denies it, then his action will be taken, because there could be element of doubt. So the element of doubt has to be taken away before any action has to happen. Understand? So likewise, even when it comes to thingy, if he wants to do qisas, basically, if somebody was to kill somebody else, unless he admits it, or there's that proof, okay, that proof, which means two men or two women or one man, yeah, then nothing can be taken upon against that. So the element of doubt has to be taken away.
Sorry, what about other proofs than testimonies of witnesses? For example, if someone kills someone and they
got a DNA proof. That was just a sidetrack, yeah? So we're not.
Like, for example, a proof without doubt, like a DNA proof.
DNA proofing is something which the today's scholars will have to talk about. But I'm talking about the standard that was set in Islam, in the sense. Now, DNA proofing is something which, obviously, if it was a Sharia ruling, and there was Islamic country, then obviously that will come under discussion. They will have to make a judgment as to whether that will have the same weight as that or not. But that's something which, well, I'm just talking about what's black and white first. Black and white is this, and anything else which is not that is something that will have to come under discussion, that would it fit under that criteria or not. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So we are talking about what's black and white. And obviously, this is why we have jurists, that they look at the current ruling, and they look for similarities into something else which doesn't have the current ruling, right? And then see if that current ruling will apply to that as well, okay? And that's what you call qiyas, and that's what you call in Arabic, in Islam, you call that qiyas, and that's called logic, basically.
Yeah,
Analogy?
Yeah.
Analogy?
Yeah.
Right. The second thing. That thing which he has, which he does, has to be for the fasting of Ramadan. If it's any other fast that he breaks, and he commits, you know, deliberately eats or drink or something, then that expiation will not become compulsory upon him. That punishment of 60 fasts, or freeing a slave, etc., which I will explain afterwards, that he will not have to do. It's only that punishment is only reserved for the fasting of Ramadan. So if somebody was fasting something else, or even if he was doing the makeups of Ramadan, for example, he missed 10 fasting because maybe legitimately he was on a journey, he was a musafir, he was a traveler, his work sent him to, say for example, Spain for 5 days in the month of Ramadan. Now, in Sharia, he's allowed not to fast. Why? Because he's a traveler. Okay? Now, he decided not to fast for 5 days. Now, he has to do this fast after the month of Ramadan. So, while doing this fast, he broke one deliberately. Would he have to do expiation? Would he have to give kafara? No. Kafara is only reserved for the actual fasting of Ramadan, not for the makeup of fasting of Ramadan, or any other fast for that matter. Yeah, so the kafara is only reserved for the fasting of Ramadan. Also, after doing something that negates the fast, there shouldn't be anything happening after that which can make not keeping the fast permissible. For example, a woman, she begins the fast. Yeah? She went past chicken based on it's $5.99. Deal today. She couldn't resist. And she had the pizza. Following after having the pizza, 2 hours afterwards, her menstruation started. Her monthly cycle started. The monthly cycle is something which does not allow you to keep fast. It is something that you're not allowed to fast. Now, because of that, although she broke her fast deliberately, now the fact that even if she kept the fast, her fast would have been broken because of her menstruation. Now there's an element of doubt, right? That her fast wouldn't have been completed if she didn't do the thing that she did. Again, her fast would have been incomplete because what happened is her menstruation started. So now, although she is sinful for deliberately breaking the fast, but for the punishment, no, because there's something that would have broken the fast already, anyhow. Or for a man, for example, after starting the fast, he deliberately breaks. But after 2 hours, he became so ill that he started shivering with fever and everything, that in that situation, a person is allowed to break the fast anyhow. Now, although he broke his fast deliberately, but because something has happened now, before sunset, on that particular day, because if it happened after sunset, then he would still have to give kafara. But if it happened before the sunset happened, and he became so ill, that in that kind of situation, any Muslim doctor will allow him to break his fast, then although he will have to redo that fast, he will not have to do the expiation, the kafar. Yeah? Also, if there's something that happens before he breaks that fast, that allows him not to fast. That allows him not to fast. For example, he
travels.
Not exactly travels, but we'll get to that point. He wakes up in the morning, okay? It's still not Fajr, still time to fast, okay? He goes on a journey, and he didn't make the intention of fast, because he knows he's going on a journey, okay? And then once he goes on the journey, he then breaks his fast. He makes intention after going on the journey. Understand?
What's fast?
To fast. Okay? And then he breaks his fast. Then, no. He doesn't have to do the expiation. Because the journey is such a thing that he is allowed not to keep fast. But if he starts the fast and then breaks it and then goes on the journey, no, he still have to do it. Because if a person starts the fast and then goes on the journey, okay? Oh, sorry, starts the fast and then breaks fast, then goes on the journey, that's not allowed. Because once you've started the fast and then you go on the journey, you're not allowed to break the fast. You're only not allowed to keep the fast if you, from the beginning, if you haven't, basically from the beginning of your journey, haven't kept the fast. But once you've started, and then you go on your journey, you need to finish it. You need to finish that. But if you know you're going on a journey, then don't fast, if you don't want to fast. Don't fast and then break it. Don't fast and break it in the middle of the journey. That's wrong. Also, whatever he does, he has to be done deliberately. If a person doesn't do it deliberately, does it by mistake. Now there's two types of mistake. One mistake is that he forgets completely that he is fasting. Okay? And he is, or she is, forgetting that he or she is fasting. Then, A, fasting will break. And because fasting doesn't break, then there's no way that kafara will become compulsory upon that person. Or he makes a mistake in doing something. Although he knows he's fasting, he gurgles. And by mistake, water goes down his throat. Water goes down his throat. Then the fast will break, although the fast will break, but he will not have to do the expiation, because it was done by mistake. It was not deliberately. So there's two types of mistake. One is mistake of actually in not knowing that forgetting that you're fasting and eating. That mistake is basically would not even render the fast void. And there's one mistake where you know you're fasting, but you couldn't hold the water and water went down your throat. That. Then in both cases, then expiation will not be necessary. Also, the another condition is he shouldn't be forced. Like I explained, if any person is forced to break their fast, then he or she does not have to do the expiation. They don't have to do the punishment. So if someone comes to you with a gun, he says, look. You eat this pepe chicken. Hey man, you don't have to force me, just give it to me. No. Well, basically, somebody forces you to break your fast. Yeah? Then, in that case, you will not have to do the expiation. You will not have to do the expiation. So these are the conditions. So any of these conditions are void, missing, then expiation is not necessary. In some cases you have to redo the fast, and some cases you don't even have to do the fast. But expiation is not necessary. But if all these conditions are met, then fasting and redoing the fasting and expiation is necessary. So if one eats or drinks something of nutritional value, so it has to have some nutritional value. If it has no nutritional value, it's not good, it's not normally something that people eat, yeah? So fasting will break, but the kafara, the expiation will not become necessary. Somebody eats dirt. That's not something that you don't normally eat, right? Now if somebody eats dirt, fasting will break, but the kafara will not become necessary. So there's a debate within the scholars of what does nutritional value mean. They said actual nutritional value, and they've explained it, something customarily eaten. That's what they explained it by. But the actual word in Arabic is called ghida or yataghadda. They've used yataghadda. And the in Arabic has two definitions. So the ulama have come to two complete different views in that. Some people say those things which the body that people tend to like. Those things that people tend to like. Those things if people eat, then not only fasting will have to be redone, but the expiation. And other people say those which benefit the body. Which benefit the body, although majority of the people don't like it. So example is given of say weed, hashish, weed. Now weed, it really doesn't have any drugs, normally doesn't have really any supposedly a good benefit to the body. But to some people like it. So if according to one definition, because some people like it, it's something that people like it, not only will your fast will break, but expiation. But for those people who say that it can give, if it gives some benefit, then yes, otherwise no. Because it normally doesn't give any benefit, these drugs, to the body, it causes more harm, then fasting will not break. So you got two different opinions. So you got polarized opinion regarding this. So even if somebody deliberately takes rainwater, it's raining down, and he's taking it down. Not only fasting will break, but expiation will become necessary. Because it's water. And you're deliberately taking it. You can always close your mouth. No point, leaving it open and taking it down. Or if one has sexual intercourse in either of the two passages. If someone has a sexual intercourse in either of the two passages, front or rear. Now, again, it didn't say if it's a live or dead person. If it's a live person, then yes. If it's a dead person, or if it's not a person, although it's a totally distasteful, heinous, and totally rubbish and bad act, but for the purpose of expiation, it is only if somebody A does it to a live person, and B, it is something that is normally people have desire for. So if it's not life, dead, then someone does it, or does it to an animal, not a person, then although it's just a distasteful act, but kafara will not become necessary. Someone does it to a minor, a very child, small child. Normally, normal people, don't like to do with this action. So then, the explanation will not become necessary. This is not to say that it's a good.
Why isn't the jurisprudence taking into account the intention of the person actually doing the sin? So, if, for example, like the weed, you mentioned, they smoke it with the notion that it's doing them more harm than good, then obviously they've broken their fast, but they don't necessarily have to do the expiation. If they were intending to smoke weed to get the benefit from it, to get high, for example, surely that intention alone, whether it's deemed harmful or not, means that they knew what they were doing or they were doing it to benefit themselves.
The thing is, like I said, doing it, that's one thing, that's why their fast will be broken. But we're talking about the actual punishment. When any punishment is given, it only comes when there's a strict criteria is met. We're not talking about being a sin. That is a big sin. Eating deliberate, drinking anything during the fast of Ramadan. That in itself is a big sin. But doing expiation is actually a punishment. Okay? First and foremost thing, you've got to free a slave. And back in those times, a slave was a very expensive commodity. That is why some scholars say that if it's a rich person, you don't give him the chance to free slaves. Because he'll do it all day, he'll do it, yeah, no problem, 5 slaves, 10, because he's rich. Obviously now that's abolished, they come down to 60 fast, okay? But we're talking about that time. But the fact that it is a punishment. So you've got to fast consecutively for 60 days. Otherwise, you can never get your sin forgiven for that. After doing that, and then your sin can be forgiven. Yes? So that punishment is only given, or is only, you know, meted out when a strict criteria is met. It's like, for example, although it's not exactly the same, it's like for any criminal offense, the level of proof, the burden of proof is higher than in a civil case, for example, right? So although he may have done it, but because the evidence is not, we haven't reached that level, yes, that's why he's not giving that punishment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
A tiny bit, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that. For the punishment to happen, that level has to be met. But between him and Allah, he's answerable. But we're talking about in this world. In this world, any sort of punishment that is given, may it be lashes, may it be in terms of punishment in wealth, has a strict criteria. Until that strict criteria is met, no punishment is given. Although, you know, he's deliberately doing that, he's deliberately breaking the fast, he's deliberately just, you know, doing all these things, but because it hasn't met that criteria, he won't be given that punishment. Okay. He could be given another punishment by the Khalifa. He could maybe give another punishment. Maybe told, clean all the graffiti of all the walls of the country. He can, he's the leader, he can give that kind of punishment. But to give the strict, the Quranic punishment, that has to be met. If that's not meant.
For example, with the sexual intercourse thing,
yeah.
It seems like the one who commits the worst crime, so the one who does it with a minor or an animal, like you said, it seems like they get away with having to do the expiation rather than the one who meets the criteria of having it with a live person, an adult. he would have to do the expiation. You know what I
mean? Yeah, like, but because what you need to understand, A, those examples will be far and few between.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? That is not something what normal people would do. You understand? Mm. You have to go beyond the boundaries of humanity to do these kind of things. Right? We're talking about people think that normally can be done by normal people. It's for those people. People who are abnormal, you can put any boundaries, it's not going to work. They'll do it with anything. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So, although that is a very bad crime, very bad thing, but it doesn't meet this thingy. Because what it is, the punishment is there, is to stop you from fulfilling your desires. And normal people's desires is to do with the normal people. Yeah. Not with a dog or not with an animal. Mm. Normal people don't do that. Understand? So this injunction is for normal. Yes, if the Khalifa wants to give him another punishment for that, he can. There's other punishment that he can give. Right? And make you an example for the whole country. For example, but this set criteria, no. Yeah? It's to stop people from doing the normal things. Otherwise, everyone would even do it. The abnormal people is a different thing. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Yeah?
So, is it, again, on purpose. Again, it has to be done on purpose. So if somebody has a sexual intercourse with his wife, forgetting that he or she is fasting, then fasting will not break. Because he didn't do a purpose. He forgot. Understand? That can happen normally on the first or second Ramadan. Because you're not in the habit now. Once you get into the habit, you automatically. As I don't know, sometimes even after a month of Ramadan, sometimes, I'm not fasting. It's finished now. You know, that happens because it becomes a habit of fasting, and then suddenly you see something. Oh no! Hey, fasting's finished. Yeah, carry on. You drink. I don't know if that's happened to me a couple of times. Yeah, but at the beginning of Ramadan, because you're not in the habit, you may do things sometimes. You know, I've drank one glass of drink, and then after. Are you fasting? I was like, damn, why you remind me for? Can I have another one? No, but the thing is that happens in the one or two days. First, after that, you get tuned into it, that you're fasting. And so mistakes like that can happen, where you may even, you know, having a relationship with your wife and forgetting that it's month of Ramadan. And it's only after you realize it's month of Ramadan. So in those kind of cases, fasting don't break. So if that happened, then he has to do the expiation. Not only require makeup, but as well expiation. What is the expiation? Then he must make up the fast as well as perform expiation, which is to free a slave first. So if in those times they had slaves, even if that slave is a non-Muslim, you still have to free. You free that, then your expiation done. Because people love their wealth so much, and that those times, you know, that was a very big commodity, and it's very, yeah, lots of wealth. You know, that's deemed, you know, the more slaves you had, the more wealthy you were deemed to. So no, where hit them where it's hard. Free a slave, gone. Anything. This and Islam like that. Whenever they didn't make a mistake, first and foremost thing, forget the fast. You free a slave, let them go, because once you free them, you can never make them into a slave again. Understand? And back in those times, so Islam wanted people to become free. Back in the, now it's different. There's no slaves still. But at that time, because slavery was there, okay, and Islam was new, you didn't want to make it hard. Okay, from now on, no slaves. That means people's investment, people, millions of pounds they've invested in these people, buying these people, it'd be all gone. And then people wouldn't have love for Islam, because people love their wealth and for anything. It's even like with alcohol. It wasn't straight away abolished. It became slowly. But people were so inclined to slowly. First, you couldn't. Well, if you did have it, you couldn't come for Salah. you had to stay at home. You understand? You couldn't come to the masjid. It's slowly. Likewise, Islam, any sort of mistake you do, free slave. So you made sure. And all the, even then, it was encouraged to free them. Let them go. Let them be free. So this is the first and foremost thing. You free a slave. Even if it's a non-Muslim. Even if it's a non-Muslim, you free them. Free them. They at least they are the servants of Allah. What they do, if they don't believe, they will have to answer Allah, not to you. Let them go. If he does not have one, he must fast 2 consecutive months. He must fast 2 consecutive months. 2 months together without any break. If he breaks anyone in the middle, he has to start all over again. He has to start all over again. And these are 2 Islamic months, not 2 English months. Not like June and July, you know. It's 2 Islamic months. So 2 Islamic months could be, you know, 58 days. Maybe 59 days. Depends on the lunar cycle. You know, 29 days, it could be 28 to 30 days. If he is genuinely unable, for example, he's very ill, he's such an illness that he can never recuperate from, okay? Then he then must feed 60 poor people. Again, the next thing is to do is to feed 60 poor people. A half a sa' of wheat or give its equivalent monetary value to each person. Basically, what you give in Sadaqah Fitr. What you give in Sadaqah Fitr, okay, you have to give that 60 times. Either give it to one person or you give it to 60 people. It's up to you. Yeah? So, for example, we give £2. So, yeah? So you have to give 120 people. Oh, sorry, 120 pounds. Yeah? Or you can give that to 60 people or you give it to one person. It's up to you. If, however, he does one of the above, namely, if he eats, drinks, or has sexual intercourse out of forgetfulness, then he neither has to make up the fast nor perform expiation. So if it's done out of forgetfulness, then you don't need to. Yes? Number 2, those that require a makeup without expiation. Certain things that will invalidate the fast but will not necessitate expiation. Use of suppository. Suppository, any sort of medicine that you use through the rectum, through the back passage or through the front passage, okay, any sort of medicine, because this medicine will somehow reach the stomach or something like that, then that will negate the fast. But it will not necessitate expiation. There is the fact that because it's not going through the normal channel, you're not kind of gratifying yourself. The feeling of desire being fulfilled when you eat through the mouth. Yes. As a desire that's being fulfilled, although your necessity being fulfilled, but same fulfilled desire. That's why sometimes we have chicken and chips, sometimes we have this, sometimes, because we like this. It's a desire that's being fulfilled. Okay, if it was just to get strength, then we eat anything. Why do we have choices? Oh, I don't like this. Oh, I like this. He likes that, and she likes this. The fact that there's a desire in certain food, which, after all, it is fulfilling a necessity, but there's a desire. And because by doing suppositories through the anal or through the front, there's no desire being fulfilled. But because it's reaching the stomach, the fast will break, but the desire is not being fulfilled. The normal desire. Now, if somebody starts to feel high because of that, that's a different thing. Again, they're abnormal. Something not normally eaten, no use for medicinal purpose, like dirt, reaching the body cavity. So something not normally eaten, okay? If you eat, if you like anything, dirt, like I said, it's not normally eaten, but somebody eats that, okay? If the, any dirt goes into your mouth, any cavity, mouth, nose, right, goes in, although your fast is broken because it's gone in where it can reach the stomach, okay, the fast will be broken, but expiation will not be needed. Accidentally swallowing water without rinsing the mouth. Somebody accidentally swallows the water, then again fasting will break, but there's no expiation. The reason why, because again he didn't do it deliberately, did he? It was by mistake.
What did they say without rinsing the mouth? Is it because if you were to rinse your mouth, then automatically you're more likely to accidentally swallow the water? Then
no, you still have to make up the fast.
So why do they say that?
Why?
Yeah.
Without rinsing, that's something... it shouldn't be. Even when you rinse in the mouth, if you accidentally...
Swallow it.
Yeah.
Make
I'll look into that, if there's any special conditions why. Being coerced to break one fast. Again, if somebody's been forced to break fast, then although they have to make up, but expiation would not be needed. Like I said, because there's no deliberate intention to break it.
Accidentally swallowing water, maybe it's funny.
Huh?
The point before this, the brother asked, how would you swallow one? It was funny.
Yeah, but the thing is, that in both cases, even if you're rinsing the mouth, is it necessary to put that condition, you're trying to say? Because you're swimming or not swimming, you're rinsing is both the same thing, isn't it?
So even if you were swimming, for example,
yeah,
and you accidentally swallowed,
yeah, same thing, your fast will break, but you want it to go.
Because it's so easy to accidentally swallow water if you're swimming.
But that's why you don't go swimming when you're fasting. Okay. Eating, even if intentionally in the daytime, for a fast in which a person did not make intention before Fajr. Eating, even if intentionally in the daytime, for a fast in which a person did not make intention before Fajr. So, like I said, I explained that, didn't I? That if a person didn't make intention during the night, he made intention after Fajr, and then he eats intentionally, fast will be necessary, but the expiation would not be necessary because of the conflict of the within the ulama. Now there's the doubt. Ejaculation due to touching or kissing. If somebody was to touch their wife and or kiss their wife or their husband for that matter, and due to that ejaculation took place, then fasting will be broken, but they will not have to do expiation. Okay? Someone, again, even if they do that purposely, touching or kissing, or by mistake, someone pouring water into the body cavity of a sleeping person. Somebody's sleeping and he decides to pour water. And then he went, what was that? The fasting will still break, but he will not have to do expiation. Self-induced vomiting, mouthful or more. If it's less than a mouth, it's somebody induced vomiting. Okay? Put something down his mouth and he starts vomiting. If it's less than a mouthful, then no. If it's a mouthful or more, then the fast will break. Okay? If somebody doesn't do it deliberately, unintentionally vomits. He started vomiting for some reason. He didn't do it. Maybe he felt sick or something. He started vomiting. Then, mouthful or not mouthful, fasting will not break. It's only when you do it deliberately, fasting will break. and it is a mouthful. If you do it deliberately and it's less than a mouthful, and also if it's in the same place, same time. If somebody induces himself to vomit and he vomits half mouthful, okay, in the afternoon, and then in the evening he vomits another half, then no. It has to be at that one particular time. Yeah? Number three, those that require nothing and are not disliked. Blood cupping, hijama. Has anybody got page 5? Everybody's got page 5? Yep. Blood cupping, hijama. Does anyone know what hijama is?
It's like when they suck.
And when they put the leech on top of
your. Yeah, you
can. They put a hot, like, glass cup thing. And
yeah.
Suck the blood out.
Yeah. That is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's very good for the body.
Yeah.
It's practically very good. Tell me a reason why women tend to get less clotting in their arteries.
Menstruation.
Correct. Yeah. It releases all the bad blood.
Yeah. Black and jelly.
So how are we going to reduce the bad blood? Mm. It's by doing cupping. That is why if you go to any heart hospital, it's majority of the men that are having bypass. Women tend to have bypasses after menstruation, after menopause. While it's happening, there's benefits. So that is why it's this sunnah. Remember, the sunnah, everything Prophet ﷺ did is for our benefit. Because he was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the maker, so he knows what's good for us.
Can you do cupping without releasing the blood? So it's a bit irrelevant.
How is it cupping then?
Yeah.
It's like, can I fast with eating? How do you do fast with eating? Tell me that one. I'd love to do that one.
Because the process, you bring the blood to the surface,
yeah,
first by eating it,
and then let it go back in again.
You like slash the skin.
Yeah, yeah.
But you bring it, but instead of slashing the skin,
you've got weird ideas.
I don't know. Somehow I've read something about. Because I first saw it. When I
somehow you got to get that bad that
blood out.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to massage it back in.
Yeah. And yeah, the thing is that the body does make more some fresh blood, which is good for you, isn't it? Okay. So that's why it's good. So we were thinking of, I was going to talk to you, maybe we should start something here where we advertise, basically, we get a competent for the Muslim brothers. Because I know one person, they said, if you can get 10 people, he'll come and do it. So if we advertise, okay, once a month or once in 3 months, 10 brothers want to do it, the brother will come here, he will do the cupping in the mosque. And all sterilized equipment, everything, professional and everything. Which is a good thing. And plus, it's reviving the sunnah. It's reviving the sunnah, which is in itself is a good thing. And not only that, we'll be benefiting. We'll be benefiting in the sense that bodily will be benefiting, which can only be a good thing, yeah, and also providing a service to the ummah, you know, and it will become cheaper. Whereas if you just go to him, he'll charge you more. But if it comes to you, and because it's a lot, he'll charge less. So that's something which we can look into, but not at the moment. As long as it does not weaken him, again, to do hijama while fasting. Although it doesn't negate the fast, but if it's something that will weaken him, he shouldn't do it. Also, injections. Taking blood, giving blood, doesn't negate the fast. Okay? And also if somebody was to inject, if it's not injected in the stomach, or it doesn't benefit, then anybody part, if he injects, the fasting will not break. Huh? If it injects in the stomach, then it's going straight into the stomach, isn't it? Anything that will lead to into the stomach will break the fast. Using the toothstick, siwak, using miswak, even if used at the as the end of the day, rather it is a sunnah. Even if used as
at the end of the day.
Is that what it says? Yours at.
Oh, no, I think that's what it should say. Yeah. It's a typo,
in it. It could be. Typo. Let's refer to the actual manual.
That doesn't make technical.
It doesn't make any sense anyway.
It makes sense. Not that I'm an expert.
It doesn't make sense though. You're right, because at the end of the day, you would have broken your fast.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? What's
at the end of the day.
Unless.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
used as. So it should be at. Okay. Rather, it is a sunnah. So it is a sunnah to use miswak. Okay? Even while you're fasting, you know, it's good to use the miswak. Because at the end of the day, you know, at the time of Maghrib, when a person is about to break his fast, yes? And then that smell is the most fragrant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not getting rid of that. Rinsing the mouth or nose without any water proceeding down the throat. So if a person rinses his mouth, rinses his nose, no problem. It wouldn't break the fast. Placing a wet garment on one's body or taking a bath due to heat.
If mistakenly water goes down your throat, say if you're doing wudu and you know you have to go, obviously, you know.
No, you don't. The thing is, again, when you're fasting,
you don't have to go necessarily, but you know, you do have to rinse your mouth.
You rinse the mouth, but you don't do excessive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, say by mistake,
it goes down
because of the fact that you haven't intended for that to go down. Your fast surely still carries on, isn't it?
No. Even like I said, if a person forces down your throat water, you fast break, but your expiration is not necessary because it was forcibly done. Mm. Yeah.
I thought if you eat or drink and you because you forget that it is Ramadan.
If you forget, here you're not forgetting. You know you're fasting, but you might miss.
It's still not intended.
Well, it's not intended. It's not intended, but it's a mistake. Right, and this mistake when you know that you're fasting, it will break the fast.
It's a mistake.
It's something.
It's also a mistake.
Well, it's something that you could be avoided.
Hmm.
Yeah, and when you don't even know you're fasting, you can't avoid it, can you? Can you avoid something when you don't know something? You can't, can you? That's why Sharia has allowed that. So if you don't know you're fasting and you eat, because you don't know you're fasting, how can you avoid from that? You can only avoid from when you know that you're fasting. You understand? But if you fasting, you take extra precaution. If you know that you can't control your mouth, don't even do that. Don't even gurgle. But if you're not if you don't even know you're fasting, how can you refrain from something when you don't know something? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Those. What time is it now? Time for Salat now, isn't it?
27.
How many minutes left? 2 minutes left. Yeah, we'll start from there.
Speed read.
Huh? Yeah. I think we start from there. Those that require from the four, inshallah. Any questions before we wrap it up?
When you said journey, what do you mean by journey? For men, when they are journeying.
When they do a Sharia journey, when they are deemed to be a musafir.
Yeah,
so it has to be 48 Sharia mile, which
one
is about.
Way.
Huh?
One way.
Yeah, one way.
One way.
Yeah.
Or.
48 Sharia mile is about 54 point something English mile. Yeah. Sharia mile is slightly longer than English mile. English mile is about 1.6 kilometers something, isn't it? And English Sharia mile is about 2,000 meters. So 1,600 something is mile. And Sharia mile is about 2,000 meters. So that's why you get that description. About 54 miles something. So 55. We want to say that.
That's one opinion, but there is also the opinion that anything that is would customarily be called as traveling is qualifies you as a traveler.
Say again?
mean, there is also the opinion that to be qualified as a traveler, the fact that people would call this journey a travel is the criteria.
It's not what people call it, it's what Sharia calls it.
Yeah, but...
He's trying to say...
In some opinion, said that Sharia calls a travel something that the public opinion would call as a travel. This is...
No.
There's the opinion of the distance as the criteria, and the opinion of what we customarily call as a travel. I'm sure, I'll verify.
No.
It's an opinion, but minor.
It's, well, the opinion that's accepted by the ulama is three farsakh. Our farsakh is a certain length in Sharia, and that is
50, roughly.
So 16 Sharia miles. So 3 times 16 is 48. Yeah, so that's what it is. And again, it's traveled by normal, because it's 3 days of journey. 3 days of journey of normal walking. And when they did that calculation of 3 days of normal journey, okay, it comes up to one farsakh. And during the day, not during the night. And again, so if you do normal journey, normal walking, you can cover that. So your point, where you to the point where you're going, if that is 56 miles, and provide you leave your town. If you haven't left your town, it's still 55 miles. You're not suffered. So if you live in a very very big city, and from one side to our side is 55, then no, you still don't suffer.
M25? M25 is outside of the area, so you can come from Saka.
Not Saka.
Aisha!